I'm Michael David McGuire here at the studio in New York. It's the Night Talker show brought to you this hour and every hour by Media Consulting Services. World-class media marketing, branding, and PR, helping serious businesses worldwide reach the world. For details, go to mediaconsultingservices.com. Well, friends, as we settle in for our fourth and final hour of tonight's show, Steve is at the producer's desk, and I am here having a really good time tonight talking with interesting people. And speaking of very interesting people, our guest this hour is Sheriff Joe Arpaio. He's an Army veteran, an author. He's a former cop in D.C. and Vegas. He spent 25 years with the DEA in far-flung places like Argentina, Turkey, and Mexico. You've seen him on all the national news shows. He's quite controversial. He's the sheriff of Maricopa County, Arizona. He's been called America's toughest sheriff. Other people have called him other things not so nice. He's a no-bull kind of guy, and he's here with us tonight. Sheriff Arpaio, live tonight from Phoenix. Welcome to the Night Talker Show.
Thank you. Phoenix, which is in Maricopa County, which is the fifth largest county in the United States, and I run about, I guess, the fourth largest sheriff's office in the United States.
Well, it's amazing, and the jurisdiction that you cover is actually larger than almost half of the other of the 50 United States. I mean, that's quite a responsibility.
We're over 9,000 square miles, and over 4 million people live in Maricopa County, which is about two-thirds of the whole state.
And you're responsible for their safety, security, and I imagine it's a lot of responsibility. Sir, let me ask you, in America, I mean, the sheriff is the top guy in any county in terms of law enforcement.
I'm glad you said that. I'm the chief law enforcement officer for this county, elected by the people, which... thank God I would have been fired 22 years ago when I took office if I had to report to some bureaucrat, governor, or politician. So it's great to report to the 4 million people.
How do we get more sheriffs around America to understand that responsibility and that they work for the people, not for the darn bureaucrats?
Well, I don't know. We have over 3,000 sheriffs. The majority are elected by the people, but that's up to them to make their decisions. I'm the sheriff of Maricopa County. That's my main thrust. So I do what I feel is right, and I'm elected, and I take that very serious, being the constitutional sheriff. Having been a bureaucrat in my 50, in other, I was head of the federal drug enforcement in Mexico, Turkey. I can keep on and on. I always had a report to someone, join the Army, when the Korean War broke out, and always had a boss. But isn't it great now to have the people as my bosses? So that's what makes this job very exciting.
Sheriff Arpaio, what was the most shocking thing that you stumbled upon when you were working with the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency?
Well, it was very interesting. I started out as a young federal narcotics agent. We were called the Bureau of Narcotics under Treasury. Then it became the Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs when they switched it from Treasury to the Justice around 1969. Then it became the Drug Enforcement Administration in 73. I have three badges, and I never quit. So usually in government, when you want to say you're going to do something, what's the best thing to do is change the name or merge like they do with this Homeland Security organization, what, made up of 150,000 people, which doesn't impress me. It was made up to be able to exchange information, talk to each other. We got the Border Patrol. Sometimes they don't even talk to the ICE, both in the same, department. So I don't know. Big doesn't mean better, even in law enforcement.
You know, what's your take on Homeland Security? It sounds like you have some questions in terms of whether that was a wise decision to merge all of these different departments together.
I don't think it was. Why would Secret Service be in Homeland Security? Of course, what's happened a couple of days ago, maybe it should be under that. But what's Secret Service got to do protecting the president to go after other, white-collar type crimes have to do with Homeland Security?
You know, sir, you're the first guest that I've had on this show that's raised that as an issue, and it's something that has personally troubled me. Why is the Coast Guard in Homeland Security? It seems to me that that's more militarily protective of the nation.
Well, the Coast Guard, when I first started as a young federal agent, was, in fact, we were in a Coast Guard headquarters in D.C. It wasn't a nice building, but the Coast Guard was in the U.S., it was in the Treasury Department. Now it's in Homeland Security, so I don't know. I guess they can always say stop terrorists from coming into the United States using the sea.
Yeah. Well, sir, you know, we talk about stopping terrorists. Why is the border wide open right now? This makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Well, I don't know. I spent 32 years at the border on both sides, Mexico, and then head of the Federal Drug Enforcement in Texas, Arizona, now sheriff for 22 years, which, by the way, we're only 30 miles, Maricopa County, from the border.
Right.
So the border has been a big problem throughout the years. When I was a federal agent in Chicago, all the heroin was coming, most of it, from Mexico, and then, of course, the French connection from France and Turkey. It's always been a big problem. I think we're the best, most powerful country in the world, and I just can't understand why we can't solve this problem if we really had the mindset and really wanted to do it. I'm very optimistic all the time. I feel that you should never surrender. If we can control that border, which we could, but it has to emanate from the president. The president sets the tempo, especially a lot of federal agencies come under the president that he can utilize to stop this problem at the border. So I know what I would do if I was the president, but I'm not the president, so I guess I can't do it.
Well, a lot of people are probably happy that you're not the president. Other people would rally behind you. Sheriff Arpaio, what worries me, I agree with you that we could stop the problem at the border if there was the will to do so. Has it ever crossed your mind? I mean, it's crossed my mind. Let me speak for myself, that this open border is for some reason unexplained, is for some reason, and that this is done with intelligent design.
Well, I think, you know, let's put it this way. It is a economic and a diplomatic and a law enforcement, political, especially problem. When I was over there, we were operational. My guys were out there working with the military on the streets, making arrests, even though we didn't really have the total jurisdiction, authority to do it, but we did it. I did it in Turkey when I was up there for 4 years working undercover and all that. So my point is, if we've done it in the past, why can't we be operational again? Why can't we send the military across the border with the Border Patrol or just the military and work with their military, work with their authorities like I used to do it? Why can't we do that? We could solve the problem very quickly if we joined forces, but you know that's never going to happen. It's not politically correct to do that.
In talking to you, I realize why you have become such a lightning rod for the liberal left, which is you say what's on your mind. One of the challenges that I've had in doing this show, I'm not a fan of the current president. That's an understatement. That's a polite statement. And I've been accused in emails of being against black people because I've spoken against the president. The race of somebody, the way I was raised, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. I know that you've had the charge of racism thrown at you or thrown in your face over the years.
It's sad. I'm not going to get into my personal family, what ethnic racial background they're from. I don't throw that around. I know I'm not a racist. My mother and father came here from Italy legally. I worked all over the world, got along great with the foreign authorities and the foreign people. So they want to throw that race card, let them do it. When they have nothing else, they always throw the race card. It's the way they play the game these days.
Absolutely. Listen, hold that thought, friends. And when we get back, I want to ask our guest, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, about his cold case posse investigation into the Obama birth certificate and Selective Service card. Many people believe these documents to be forgeries. I haven't seen them. I don't know. But we'll ask, and we'll do that shortly. I'm Michael David McGuire, and this is the Night Talker Show here on the Night Talker Radio Network. Friends, have you read the Omaha Declaration? Our country has changed virtually overnight. Our economy is in shambles. as the very basic needs of our own citizens go unmet. While war sabers rattle worldwide, our nation's military might is being squandered in ways which only serve to create chaos and instability. Major corporations have been contracted to build huge civilian detention camps. Inflation is on the rise. The parallels between what is happening in our nation today and the rise of Nazi Germany is very stark and very real. But now, you can help make a difference. You can help spread the word and help formulate solutions. Start now. Go to omahadeclaration.com. Girl, you know the deal. I'm Michael David McGuire. Welcome back for more of the Night Talker Show. By the way, if you'd like to hear some of our past guest interviews, you can do so by going to our website at nighttalker.com. Click on the link called Featured Guest, which will take you to our past show archives page, where you will find a drop-down menu with a list of some of our most popular past guests. Well, friends, our guest this hour is Maricopa County, Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Sheriff Arpaio, welcome back.
Thank you. Let me just say one thing. I'm not a magician, or I don't have all these criminal justice degrees and all that. I think I survive on two things. Number one, I'm a senior citizen, so I have life experience.
Right.
I like to think I use common sense, and that's what we need today more than anything else is common sense and experience. And also, I have one little other fallacy. I'm a fighter. I don't surrender. I work hard, and I think I've been successful, been reelected or elected six times. I'm going for number seven for those people that don't like me so they can have me around for another seven years.
Well, you know, it's you talk about your background. Your parents were legal immigrants from Italy, you know, and I would imagine you had a bit of a hard scrabble life there for a bit. I mean, it taught you independence. It taught you strength. What were your days like in the Army?
Well, let me tell you, I graduated from high school, joined the Army. The Korean War broke out. Did my basic training in Fort Dix, 18 years old. You know, the M1 and all that, but I ended up in France instead of Korea. Actually, it's pretty dangerous in France at 18 years old, too. So, but I did my 3 years, got made sergeant in 2 years, and I always wanted to be a cop, so I was discharged, joined the Washington, D.C. Metropolitan Police, walked a tough black beat for 4 years, then went to Vegas for a short time. And then became a federal narcotics agent in Chicago. All within a year, I did those three jobs. So it was very interesting in my law enforcement career. And yet, once again, as I said, I love this job better for only one reason. I'm elected and can make the decisions I feel is right for the people and live and die by my decisions. I run this organization. It's almost 4,000 employees, and I had the freedom to put up tents, do what I feel is right, and makes it great.
Well, a lot of people, you took a lot of bad press on the pink underwear, which I don't even want to mess with talking about. But when you talk about, you know, you serve the people, you're elected by the people. I looked at your election stats. Most of those elections you won by what clearly looks like a landslide. Sounds like people are going to have to put up with you for another several years. And before that break, sir, we were talking about the controversy around the Obama birth certificate. Your cold case posse, where does that stand now?
You know, this is a tough one. I can't get into all the details. I will tell you this, the surprise Tea Party, I say surprise, that's a section of the Maricopa County, came to me, 200 signed a petition, said, Sheriff, you're our last hope. Will you investigate the president's birth certificate? Right. I had to make a big decision. These are my constituents. Do I throw it in the wastebasket, or do I look at it? I have a posse made up of 2,500 volunteers, and I have a cold case posse, so I gave it to them so nobody can go after me and criticize me for using taxpayers' money. Right. So we've been working this for 2.5 years. I've been in law enforcement 55 years. I'm not Donald Trump, although he did write me a note. He's been talking about it too, but he's not in law enforcement. This is the first time in history the law enforcement agency has taken this on. And I've been, I've had press conferences. They go after me. They don't even want to care about the evidence. Nobody wants to care about the evidence. I can't get any politician to look at it. You mention a name, everybody runs in different directions. And the media won't cover it either.
Right.
It's amazing. Amazing. And I was in D.C. when the Watergate thing was going on, but this one is really strange.
You know, what strikes me as odd about it, Sheriff Arpaio, is I remember 27 April 2011, and that's the day that President Obama went before the American people on live television to release his birth certificate. And I was working on a film, a documentary film at Princeton University, and I was with leadership of Princeton. And as this was playing in the background, I turned to my companions and I said, some big caca is about ready to hit the fan. And you know, sir, do you remember bin Laden was killed that next weekend and the birth certificate issue got buried in the news cycle, buried that day?
Well, bin Laden isn't killed every day around here, so they're still not talking about it. So I don't know about that one.
Sir, if this is not a fair question to ask you, you can always in radio say no comment, no answer, buzz off. You could even hang up. I hope you don't do that. But yeah, you'd be the one guest, my first time in my life, to do it. What do you think is the truth on the birth certificate?
Well, I'm pretty well convinced it's a forgery, fraudulent government document. Now, in law enforcement, I think when you know there's probable cause that it's a crime, you try to solve the case. Wouldn't you like to know who did it?
Yes.
So my thrust right now is trying to prove who did it. So that's my next issue. Plus, there's other sensitive things going on. So it's just frustrating. When I'm the bad guy, Mike Zullo is my chief investigator. We're the bad guys. All we're trying to do is, look at a fake forgery, and if it was you, you'd probably be in jail tomorrow if you did it.
Yes.
So I don't know. I worked in D.C. many times. I've been around a long time. This puzzles me, really puzzles me, especially the main media that don't want to talk about it. I just can't figure out. I have my ideas what's going on. I don't think they want to touch this.
Right. It puzzles me too, sir. Let me ask you, do you feel, I mean, you have been attacked more forcefully than almost any other political or public figure in the country. And the attacks have been rather extreme, some of them personal, some of them not based on fact. Do you make the assumption that this is for political reasons?
Oh, I think you mean the birth certificate or my fight against illegal immigration? As far as the birth certificate, I don't know. That's very interesting. Are they going after me on this illegal immigration or even the Justice Department talking about it started a criminal investigation, which didn't go anywhere?
Right.
I don't know. I do know the president knows who I am, which is a badge of honor. And I do know that Holder and a lot of people know who I am. But, you know, I got a good organization, regardless of what you hear about racial profiling. And sometimes some people make a few mistakes, but that's the way it goes.
And that's life when you run a big organization and you are elected by the people of Maricopa County. Friends, listen, when we come back, I want to ask our guest this hour, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, what are the greatest challenges facing America now? And by God, friends, if we're gonna fix it, how in the heck do we fix it? And we'll do that after these quick messages. I'm Michael David McGuire, and this is the Night Talker Show here on the Night Talker Radio Network. Share this show with your friends and family. Just like us on Facebook. For details, go to nighttalker.com.
Throughout the day. The whole paradigm for human communications, including online marketing, has changed exponentially in just these past 3 years alone. A lot of good companies and individuals are being left behind and losing money because they don't understand the new dynamics of online marketing. Well, let me tell you about Media Consulting Services, a leader in the field of online marketing. They've helped generate tens of millions of online hits and in the hundreds of thousands of dollars in new online income for clients around the world. Media, marketing, branding, PR, and new product launch. For details, go to MediaConsultingServices.com. And right now, for a limited time only, you can get a free project evaluation by clicking on that big red button in the lower right corner at MediaConsultingServices.com. We think you'll be very impressed.
All across America and around the world, you're with us now, here, on the Night Talker Radio Network. I'm Michael David McGuire here at the studio in New York. It's the Night Talker Show. I brought to you this hour by Media Consulting Services, a world-class media marketing, branding, and PR, helping good people worldwide reach the world. Details at MediaConsultingServices.com. Well, friends, our guest this hour is Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio. And just before that break, we were talking about integrity in government. His thoughts on Barack Obama's birth certificate. Excuse me, I don't mean to laugh. And we asked, what's going wrong with America and how do we fix it? Sheriff Arpaio, welcome back.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks for giving me the time to voice my opinion.
Well, and you're very, you know, when we read about you in the press, on the right, you're seen as a plain-spoken advocate of freedom. On the left, I don't know. I don't know if they've described you as having horns or not, but it moves in that direction. I find your blunt speech, frankly, refreshing. Two questions. I mean, same kind of question, but divided in two ways. One is general America, and the other is law enforcement. In terms of America in general, what do you see as the greatest looming problems for the country?
Well, I have to say leadership, you know, that's a cop-out. You always should say we need good leadership, but that's true. Whether you run a business or run the government, you need leadership, and it can't always be right, but I think you have to have people that want to take a chance and, you know, willing to take the risk and the chance. We need that in our country. And I know we got problems overseas, and we got problems domestically. We have problems with government agencies. We got problems, you know, with the president's polling, and I can go on and on. But I still say, and I'm a senior citizen, by the way.
Right.
I was born June 14th, Flag Day, 1932, so you can pull out your calculator and see what a young guy I am. But I say that because I go back in history. I can compare the way it was and the way it is today.
Right.
I'm not a high-tech guy. I don't have a iPad, U-pad. I have a typewriter. I don't have emails. I like to talk to people. This high tech, all this computers, people are slaves to computers. Where's the personal relationship anymore? Where's the loyalty? Where's the ethics? Where is it when you could shake hands one time and your handshake is your bond? What is it? Everybody needs lawyers. No matter what you do, you got to go get a lawyer. So I think we, in the morality, where is that? I just found out you can pick up these telephones and get anything you want. You used to get it in Times Square. Now you don't have to. You just get it from your whatever these things are. You know that. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yes, sir, I do. And I personally find it somewhat troubling. You know, when you talk about leadership, you talk very bluntly. A lot of people have rallied behind you. Other people would like to knock you in the head, you know, and that's just life.
Or send me bombs, which they do.
Well, and death threats. I mean, I know you've had that, yet the people that you serve consistently return you to office, some of the times with landslide votes. Sheriff Arpaio, money in politics, and I'm talking about the Congress right now, all that money floating around cannot help but lead towards corruption.
Yeah, I guess you're right, all this dark money, whatever they call it. But you know what? When you run for office today, it's very expensive to television. I can go on and on. People always judge whether they're going to win by how much money they have, which isn't true all the time. Money isn't everything.
Right.
But money talks in politics.
Yeah.
And that's the system we have right now.
With law enforcement in America, what do you see as the biggest problems in law enforcement right now?
I think it's the technical equipment all the time, the lack of trust. Now, in the old days when I was a cop, a federal agent, you could go to court, raise your right hand, and everybody would believe your testimony. Now you can't even do that. You need video cameras, audio. You got to have all this equipment for the credibility of the law enforcement guys. Now it's tough out there. We have more violence thanks to drugs and other things. So cops are being killed. My deputy sheriffs are being killed. It's kind of like a war out there today. And sometimes these officers are not backed up. They're thrown under the bus because of politics or the media or a video camera that shows a certain situation. And all this, it should be waiting to get the whole picture, not just take what you see on a video camera. So right. A lot of politics, and I'll tell you what the big problem is, and I don't think it's a problem, but it's the media. The media drives everything. Example, if there's a big situation, whether it's St. Louis area or not, hits the media, all the politicians get in the act, they want to throw the guy, the cop, to the wolves because it's driven by media, and politicians listen to the media, which sometimes is good, and they react to the media. So the media is very, very powerful. And I like the media. I talk to them all the time. And I don't run away from the media. So how else can I get my message out? I'm talking to you. I want to thank you for giving me a chance to get my message out. Now, you seem like a nice guy. You're not blasting me too much, which if you want to, that's great. But at least I can get my message out and respond to you.
Right.
So that's why I talk to everybody, overseas and everywhere.
Well, and one of the things that we like to do with this show is sort of get behind the cheesy headlines. Pink underwear is probably your cheesy headline. And get to know the real person and let them tell their side of the story. Now, Sheriff Arpaio, something you brought up just moments ago, you talked about deputies being murdered or killed on the job. As the head guy, that must be really hard.
Yeah, it's hard, very difficult, because we have a tough job out there. You know, I'm a guy, my employees can't con me. I've been through it all. I'm not a guy that got up through the ranks, as with the bureaucrats because of drinking with a boss or who I know. I worked hard my whole life. My mother died when I was born, refused an abortion. She gave her life for me. So I bounced around from Italian family to Italian family. But I like to think I turned out okay. You know why? Because I work. I take that extra step no matter what I do, and sometimes as sheriff, that gets me in trouble. I don't make that much money. As the sheriff, I really don't need this job. And my wife of 57 years, she supports me. If she didn't support me, I'd probably be fishing or learn how to fish. So it's the family that's important for law enforcement, too. They got to stand by their spouse that are out there risking their lives. Families are very important.
Well, I saw a picture on the internet of you and your wife in a parade in Phoenix, and you're lucky to have somebody in your life that cares about you, that loves you, and will stand by you in this difficult job. Sheriff Arpaio, you also alluded earlier to the bombs and the death threats, and I wasn't going to go down that road in this interview because I thought maybe it wouldn't be appropriate, but you raised the issue.
I don't care.
Well, then what's that like? I mean, not everybody gets a bomb in the mail.
Well, I get a lot of threats, and we lock them up. It's not just a threat and We put a lot of them in jail, my guys do, but it doesn't bother me. Come on, I'm a high-profile guy. I don't even carry a gun. I have a little gun on my tie class. But, you know, not that I can't carry a gun, but I have security now, which is unfortunate. I don't like it. You know, they're going to get you, they're going to get you. So it doesn't scare me. And I worked in Mexico and Turkey, all over the place.
Quickly, let me ask you about Turkey. I mean, that must have been wild territory in those days.
Yeah, it was great. I was the only agent there in the Middle East, so I had to meet with the prime minister one day and go out undercover and shoot at dope peddlers in the hills of Turkey to stop the French connection.
Right.
So it was fun. I was, you know, a little stupid maybe, things I did, not worried about danger, but I survived. It was an exciting part of my law enforcement career.
You know, Sheriff Arpaio, in the last minute or so of this show, and I appreciate you coming here and joining us, what's your thoughts on the push here a while back of people suggesting that you run for president?
Oh, come on. I could say that. So everybody wanted me to run for governor every 4 years, and I could have been the governor, but why would I want to be the governor? I have a gun and badge. Governor doesn't have a gun and badge, and so I'm happy. You know, most politicians want to be somebody else. They're never happy where they're at. So I'm going to go out with my boots on, and I'm going out as the sheriff. And I don't know how many more years I have left, but I'm running again in 2 years, and that'll be 4 more years. And then when I'm, 87, if I have to get a wheelchair like Raymond Burr and Ironside, I'll get the wheelchair. I have a 50 caliber machine gun, too. So, you know, I'm going to keep going as long as I can do the job.
And for the people of Maricopa County, as we get down to our final 30 seconds or so of this particular show, what's your prayer, what's your hope for Maricopa County and for America?
Well, I love Arizona. I've been born and raised in Massachusetts, been all over the world. This is my state. I love being here. I'm never leaving. And I want to do everything I can to help the people. As long as they want me, I'm going to serve them. Now, if they don't want me, they'll go hire somebody else. But I'm very loyal to the people of this county, and for them keep putting me in office, so they want me to do something, and I'm going to do it. That may be corny, but what other reason do I have? I don't want to be anybody else.
Well,
so that's the way it is.
Sheriff Joe Arpaio, thank you so much for being with us here tonight on the Night Talker Show.
Thank you, sir.
Friends, stick around. We'll have some closing thoughts and a message from our listeners after this quick break. I'm Michael David McGuire, and this is the Night Talker Show here on the Night Talker Radio Network.
We interview some of the most interesting people in the world. Is there someone who you think would be a great guest on an upcoming show? If so, send your idea to guestsuggestion@nighttalker.com.
Fast 4 hours tonight, and I'm very happy that you've been able to be along with us for the ride. You know, as I reflect tonight, I don't know, tonight I get sort of, I was going to say misty, and that's not quite right. But, you know, I'm such a lucky guy to have a really cool job like this, to be able to come in here at night and talk to you. And it's also been fun to watch the numbers grow, which are, by the way, way up. And Steve, I'll show you that piece of paper. See? he nods, like through the window he can read it. Anyway, they're up, and that's a good thing. You know, as I think you guys know, I've been on this beat a really long time, and it's fun to talk about these things. Listen, I also really appreciate the postcards and emails, and as we pick them out, I mean, you guys know I see these things ahead of time, so it's not like a surprise. So I picked the things that we could fit into this last segment, and one is another postcard from Florence, Oregon. This is the third we've had from her. I've met Florence in person, and she has the record for the largest number of postcards to the P.O. box over here at Times Square Station. And this postcard, it's got a picture of the old green bridge across the Siuslaw River going into town. Now, of course, if you're going south, then you'd be going out of town, but I happen to know Florence, Oregon well. It's that 1930s-style bridge that were built in the Depression days along Highway 1, along those rocky cliffs along the Oregon coast. We also have an email here from Doris in Cincinnati. She asks, what do I do for fun? I'm sorry, I don't know why that sort of tickles me, but I love to go bike riding. As I work around the nation, I will make it a point to have access to a bike. Now here in New York City, for those of you that have visited in New York City, we have a thing here called City Bikes, and it's really amazing. For like $100 a year, I think it's $100, $120, something like that, you get a little, they call it a key, but it actually is like a rectangular piece of plastic that you go to a bike rack, and these bike racks are all over Manhattan. We've got one right in front of the studio, as a matter of fact, if the bikes aren't all gone. And there might be 20, 30, 40 bikes in these giant bike racks, and you put your little key, which is really a rectangular piece of plastic, into this hole and take out a bike, and you can ride that bike around Manhattan. My favorite place to go, and this, of course, is the answer to Doris in Cincinnati, is down by the Hudson River. And if you come here to visit, you'll meet Steve, you'll see the studio, you'll meet Fran, you'll see Fran's closet, you'll be part of the team for an hour or so anyway. But you'll see that we're just two blocks off of the Hudson River. And the Hudson River at New York is not a small thing. It's huge. Anyway, I'll get one of these city bikes and pedal down to the Hudson. And I try to go about sunset and ride all the way down towards Lower Manhattan, past the World Trade Center, the new World Trade Center, and down to the Staten Island Ferry and watch the ferry go. So that's what I do for fun. And then the final email, and I chose this one specifically because this is something I've been wanting to talk about on the show. Dave in Topeka, Kansas writes, "I'm confused. Are you a Democrat or a Republican? Are you a liberal or a conservative? You live in New York and you sound liberal on some of your stuff, conservative on others." Maybe we did talk about this before, but I don't like labels. I'm certainly not a Democrat. I'm certainly not a Republican. Libertarian, but I'm not even sure I'm totally libertarian because some of the libertarian platform, like selling the national parks, I mean, I really don't agree with that. But I can remember as a young boy in the 1950s, being confused. Now, this was in the days even before television. In this little town that I grew up in, we had no TV. We listened to the radio, as old smart people should do. And I asked my grandmother, what was the difference between Republicans and Democrats? Boy, that caused a stir in the family. And she gave me then, 50-some years ago, the best answer I've ever heard, and the answer that I agree with today, which is there is no difference. It's the same screw job. She didn't say screw job. That was not the kind of language my little short Baptist grandmother would use. But now in later life, by the way, older than my grandmother was when she gave me this advice, screw job is, I think, a good word. I am a free speech constitutionalist, and the sooner we get to common sense. Some of the founding principles of America are incredibly liberal. Free speech, that's new in human history. That's quite liberal. Freedom of religion, that's like amazingly liberal. Those are liberal ideas. And in terms of conservatism, New York, liberal New York, is very conservative. People are polite. People treat each other good. Listen, friends, the music comes in, and Steve is holding up his hand. We need to move this along. As I've said before, love to hear from you. And if you'd like to write to us, send a postcard, a picture postcard. The address is Night Talker, P.O. Box 2398, Times Square Station, New York, New York, 10108. And lately, as we move towards fall, it's actually a little short-staffed around here this last week. It's actually me going over there myself on my lunch break to get the postcards. And as we count down, I say thanks to Steve for your efforts tonight. Good job. You and I are both still here. We're awake. I'm Michael David McGuire, and this is the Night Talker Show here on the Night Talker Radio Network. Night Talker, nighttalker.com, the Night Talker logo, and all Night Talker photos, news stories, feature articles, and program content is copyright 1985 to 2014 by Michael David McGuire. All rights reserved. Any other copyrighted photos, stories, and materials are the sole property of the legal copyright holder. Night Talker, nighttalker.com, and the Night Talker radio show are an exercise of free speech. The opinions expressed in these reports and on this show do not necessarily reflect the opinions of show producers, show staff, or show sponsors. Studio catering by Westside Market. All fresh, all delicious, all made from scratch. Westside Market. Generous portions at reasonable prices. For details, go to our website at nighttalker.com. Oh, my love can't be concealed. Girl, you know.